السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على سيد الأولين والآخرين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، يقول الله تبارك وتعالى في كلامه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. صدق الله العظيم. Honorable ulama kiram, respected brothers, we have been blessed by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and again the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and has given us this opportunity where we can be in the obedience of Allah. One of the greatest feeling a person can get in this world is that when you know someone important and someone who is really closer to you, someone really matters to you, that they love you. If you have that feeling, you realize so-and-so loved me so much. As a son, if you feel, we know our parents love us, but when they express their love and they tell you and they emphasize you and say, you know, my son, you are love of my life. That feeling that you get, you cannot express that. You will not be able to articulate that, put it into words. You come to masjid, you have an imam here, or someone, an elderly person, standing and seeing you coming, entering, you know, with a big smile, is waiting for you, and is welcoming you, and he embraces you and says, Wallahi, I love you. How do you feel? Can you explain and express that? You know, one of the most valuable moment, that means one of the most enjoyable moment in the life, is that you feel that there are people who value me, who accept me. And of course, it makes your life very easy. You enjoy. That's it. You don't need anything. The people around you love you. They tell that your life matters to us. My respected brothers, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you opportunity to go into sujood or recite His Quran, Kalam, or get closer to any good deed, that means Allah is telling that I love you. It's not our love to Allah. You know, can you come and say, you know, Ya Allah, I woke up for Fajr, Suhoor, because I love you. No. No, you know, we love so many other things. We are human beings. We love our wife, our life, our children. But the moment you realize, this is very important, the moment you realize that person loved me so much, that makes you easy to love that person more than what that person. The realization that Allah loves you, the realization your brother loves you, realization your sister loves you. You know what is real love means? You think love means, love means that it's unconditional. When you love a person, you become blind. When you love a person, you justify, you just forgive. Whatever mistake the person does it, you're ready to forgive and what? Accept and embrace. That's what it means. So this opportunity that Allah made us, possible to us, reach the month of Ramadan and spend these nights and at least the Fajr Salah with Jama'ah, that means that Allah loves us. So we need to get that. Spiritually, when we are really in trouble, that's the moment that you go through difficulty. you know, what made Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that what made easy, what comfort him with all the difficulty which he was going through in Makkah. What comfort him that is that this doesn't matter. Because my Rabb Allah, my Lord loves me. Nothing matters to him. In this world, when Muslim Ummah, when we are suffering, when we are going through difficulty, just that we are realizing that my Lord, my Rabb, the Rabb that I worship, the Rabb I that call him every single day, 17 times I say Allahu Akbar and I go sujood. That Rabb, he loves me, realizing and accepting that. That makes all our difficulty go away from this. Other things doesn't matter. You will never complain. That what gave comfort for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Surah Al-Duha is very beautiful. When sallallahu alaihi wasallam was going through a difficulty, there was a 18 days or 20 days, a different narration. There is a 2 weeks or longer period of time, revelation did not come. So the kuffar came and asked certain question, Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, without a wahi, without instruction from Almighty Allah, he never used to answer them. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحِي يُوحَىٰ. He never uttered, he never spoke, except it was wahi. Already Almighty Allah would have informed him something, or he needs message from Almighty Allah. So when the question, he said, inshallah, tomorrow, he did not say inshallah, he said, tomorrow I'll inform, expecting regular revelation from whom? Almighty Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to test sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was a period of gap that revelation did not come. Just imagine, you totally depend on that. Just imagine. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam totally depend on revelation. Nothing else. There is no other knowledge he has. There is no ustad. He cannot go and consult anyone. Our young man will know, you know, they fully depend on this cyber internet, and all his assignment he does with that, it's jam, crash, no internet access. Oh, the guy go crazy. Eh? He go crazy because he's plugged into it. His life is internet. His life is social media. His life is in cyber world, right? You just jam that for a while, the guy go crazy because he's addicted. Our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the time of beginning of the prophethood, he has been connected with Jibreel alayhi salam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just imagine for 18 days, 14 days, 2 weeks, revelation doesn't come. Just imagine. What a difficult. Now, the kuffar start making stories. You see, the Iblis, he never used to get revelation. The shaitan used to come and talk to him. Now that shaitan have left him. All these type of stories going around. Little number of sahabas with him. How difficult it is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Surah Al-Duha, because those verses revealed at the time of noon. That's why it was duha. And then goes on, and in the end Almighty said, Ma wadda'aka rabbuka wa ma qala. Allah did not leave you. I am with you. Just imagine the happiness. After that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, end of surah to duha, he made takbir. Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamdi. That's why it's sunnah. According to you ask the Qurra, after that you're reading takbir is sunnah. You see that, realizing as believers, you know, we, our environment, our surrounding will not accommodate us. We may in trouble. Sometimes we have everything, but still we find difficult. So that realizing that Allah loves you, that gives you confidence, that gives you strength. You go out, you don't know what's happened, but you're going out with that confidence that Allah's protection is there with you. This is called Iman. When you come for Fajr Salah, you go out, you go with that confidence. You know, Allah have assigned angels to protect me. See, this spiritual exercise is very important. Our salah, our qiyam, our this gathering of zikr, this is a gathering of zikr. We are trying to remind. This is a spiritual exercise where we can personal. This is not got to do. Every individual, our relationship, our network, the strength, our, you know, is different. Every one of us, our connection with Almighty Allah is different. So we need to strengthen it. And when you go through difficulty, my dear brothers, that's what gives you hope. That gives you life. That gives you encouragement. That gives you confidence. That gives you how this Muslim Ummah is surviving. Just imagine, how does the Muslim Ummah in Palestine surviving? Nothing. They have nothing. They don't have media. They don't have anything. They have one thing that keeps them going, that gives them strength, that they say, Allah is with us. Hasbunallah, hasbunallah, wa ni'mal wakil, ni'mal mawla, wa ni'mal nasir. Allah suffice for us. There's another verse in the Quran, when the enemies got together and they were just frightening the Sahabas. Then the Sahaba says, Allah is suffice. That's the word they use. You don't need to get scared. My dear brothers, to exercise that, it's very easy. But when we face, you know, moments like that, individual situations like that in life, maybe someone is ill, going through a difficulty, at the moment there is a calamity, a loss, it's not easy. But at that moment you come and say, Allah, inna lillah, you know, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will test us, He will test us. So this is the exercise of our spirituality. Our strength is not our physical strength. We need those. We cannot neglect that. Yesterday I spoke to you, the beautiful balance in our deen is that fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana. But there will be a moment that the dunya, the environment will not be in supportive to us. But definitely Allah will be with us. Allah will be. We need to talk to our children this thing. We need to discuss this in a personal level. We need to have this discussion and encourage ourselves, encourage one another. Encourage one another. We will be tested. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, don't just think, okay, we are doing everything. Why we have been tested? When you are being tested, that means you remember Allah loves you. When He's testing you, remember that Allah loves you. That's why I said, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was tested, that reminds him, Allah is with me. He is with me. He is with me. Inna Allah ma'ana. Allah is with us. Allah is with us. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, both of them in the cave. Yes, what happened? At that moment, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, Sayyidul Mu'mineen, he's the, you know, he's of all the believers, our iman will never come closer to his iman. But he's a human being. He was a little shaken up there. And what did he say? يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعْنَى. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't worry, don't break your head, just relax, Allah is with us, Allah is with us. My respected brothers, this is the biggest strength, this is the biggest weapon that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. We should try and do that. And each and every one of us, our spiritual, we do have our spirituality within us. No believers, if he's a believer, he do have that. But when it comes to spirituality, you can take his spirituality is divided into four main characters. It has been expressed in four different ways. But all of us have all these four characters. When you are a believer, when you are spiritually empowered, you do have this character. One element of our spirituality is that heart of inspiration. We do have a very big heart. We accommodate everyone. We forgive everyone. We have a very long side. But that character, that element of his spirituality, for some people, that will be overpowering others, other characters. They will have a very wide, and they have a lot of inspiration, positive thinking, always thinking very far. In the seerah, you can find among the Sahaba, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu is a role model for that spirituality. He was like a father for all the Sahabas. Very far thinking. accommodative, forgiving. Quran bearing witness about Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. His personal instance where his own daughter was accused by a person who is funded by him, who is actually living under his sponsorship, that young man got involved in that accusation or carrying the message around. Someone else created the story, but he carried it around. Mistah radiallahu anhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran says Allah forgave him because he is a muhajir. Quran mentioned about him. He's a muhajir. He made hijrah from Makkah to Medina. When he got to know Abu Bakr Siddiq as a father, he got really hurt and he said, okay, someone who I sponsor did this, but he had that huge heart, so wide. Quran says that. Had a very big heart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse, forgive him. Fa'fu wasfahu. Fa'fu wasfahu. Forgive and forget, not just saying forgive. Abu Bakr Siddiq then immediately forgive. He had such a huge heart. Just imagine. Ibn Aisha radiallahu anhu, instant, I'm just connecting with the previous point I was making. When that one whole month, almost 37 days or 35 days, accusation is taking place, nothing is getting cleared. No wahi is coming and clarifying it. Just imagine. Allah, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, send her back to her parents' house and then it's the whole thing is not clear. Who is right and who is wrong? Just imagine. Allah was testing the believers and seeing who is. You just don't get carried away with rumors. You understand? Nowadays it's very easy. Social media is so strong. Someone come and tell, tomorrow I go out, you know, Sheikh Arkam, just everybody starts sharing. Rumors can spread. That's the easiest way that you lose all your rewards. You get bankrupt. You see? You get carried away. But a believer will be very mindful. He will be very responsible in sharing information. He say, no, I cannot just share this. This is amana. This is a privacy of a person. You know, international law speaks about the privacy law. You know, you can sue a person if they take your privacy away. It belongs to you, right? Is that they don't know to speak, that Allah have spoken about it. Every individual have their personal privacy that has to be protected. For such that you do not, Allah has not given you a right. If you see something wrong, Allah has not given you the right to spread it around. No. That is the privacy policy of Muslim Ummah. But do we really follow? It's a questionable. Just imagine Aisha radiallahu anha, that one whole month, there is no wahi. Just imagine what a great difficulty. But she had that belief because she knows she is innocent. She knows that Allah is with me. She was talking to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when the words revealed saying that she is free. She is not part of this. This is accusation and the ruling revealed. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went there. The mother was saying, thank Rasul. Say, no, I have to thank only Allah. Because He loves me. Just imagine. This is what makes you going. You understand, getting connect yourself. So that spirituality, some of us do have that. When you have that, you try to, make use of that. And the second element of our spiritual feeling, how it has been expressed, is that voice of justice. For some people, they will never tolerate injustice happening. You see, some people very loud. He says he's troublemaker. He's not troublemaker. His spirituality, how he expresses out, is when he say unjust, he scream. He comes out. He stand for it. He stand for oppress. In Sirah, you find a person who is outstanding in this character is Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu. He has had an inspirational heart, but his character of voicing out for justice is more. You were so loud, even with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to be very loud, and he say, you used to stand for it. All of us do have this. As a believer, when we see something unjust happening, that's what I say, مَنْ رَأَى مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلْيُغَيِّرُهُ بِيَدِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِهِ. When you see an evil, a vice taking place, you need to prevent it with your hand. That means use power, authority to stop. If you are unable to do, that means you do not have authority. If you do not have power to do it, at least you need to advise him. Big nastay nasiha. If you are unable to do, you know, I cannot advise this person, I am unable to do it, at least with your heart you need to regret. See this man and make dua. And he says, وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. When wise and injust happening, this is, everybody is not in same category. Some can use authority, some can use power, some can voice it out, right? Some cannot do anything, only dua. So Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu is the, you know, outstanding character in that. And the third element and character of spirituality is, we call it eye of vigilance. That means they are very conscious about haram and halal and to do things in an accurate and proper way. You see some people very quiet. They don't bother about other people. They are very particular about their ibadah. Very particular about their a'mal. Muslims say, hey, what's wrong with him? There is some sort of injustice happening. He's just waiting. He's not. You cannot say that. His element of being, you know, taking care of his amal and being very particular about haram and halal is higher. It's called eye of vigilance, always protective. That protective is based on taqwa. Always when there is a doubt, he refrains himself. When he says there is maybe I might fall, he refrains himself. The example of Ali radiallahu anhu is that he was so particular about haram and halal. He was so particular about getting. So he lived a very poor life. He lived a very poor life. If you go and see his sirah, he could have done so much of business and make. He had the opportunity, but he was very particular. And then the fourth element of our spiritual element and the spiritual characteristic which comes out is hand of power, you call it. That they are so, they become so generous, they want to just give, help people. Anybody comes, the door is open, they just give. Outstanding character of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu is that he never say no. You see, these are the four different personalities. They had different spiritual character which was outstanding. It doesn't mean they didn't have the other ones. They did have. You can't say, okay, Umar radiallahu anhu was not concerned about haram and halal. No, they had that. All of them were concerned, but their outstanding character was that. So as believers, we all have this. But each and every one of us has one of these elements, what? More. It comes outstanding. Comes out more. So we need to try and see what is our nature. Which way is our nature and try to capitalize that, utilize that. And in all other parts, we have to be at least on the basic level. You see, there is, you know, you certain subjects, you just take average marks. For some subjects, you say distinguish, right? But you don't fail. As believers, when you don't fail, you have average and then distinguish. So we have to try. And being distinguished in all these four is difficult, but only one person who succeeded in that is our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had distinguished marks for all these parts. So it's impossible for us to be, but we try. We try to imitate him, we try to get closer to him. Even in our salah, in our every single thing, we try to imitate, but at least we will come above. So here, my respected brothers, month of Ramadan is given. Why I mention these things is that sometimes we do not understand our personality, our spiritual level, where it is. What is, you know, outstanding character in me? And then we need to capitalize and guide. We have youngsters. Some of the youngsters, they are, that part is more. You need to understand them, look at them and guide them. See, this era, what I found is this, in this century, we do have orators, lecturers, speakers, ustad and teachers. But we have less mentors, murshids, murabbis. I come, teach and go, it's done. But I am not a murabbi, I am not a murshid, I am not a trainer. You see, it's easy to give a lecture, it's easy to convey a message. But then training a person to attain that, you cannot do it in an hour or 2 hours. It takes time. To do that, you need to be part of him. You need to eat with him, you need to travel with him, engage with him. Engage. Unfortunately, what I have seen for this last 15 to 20 years, that we as community leaders, we are very happy, we get a sheikh, he start giving lecture, and alhamdulillah, we think we have done our duty. We have, our youngsters need murshid. If you want to train him, you can speak whole night the reward of the Tahajjud, but he will not pray unless he has a relationship with a person who prays the Tahajjud regularly. That is called tarbiyah. That is called training. That is called work. That's why yesterday I said the suhbah of, you know, companionship and relationship of a pious people is the greatest ni'mah. Because when you have that, it's auto comes in. That reflects, the character reflects. So we need, those days we had shuyukhs and murids. You know what they did, the shuyukhs and murids? He is alim. But what happened with their relationship? The sheikh will study every individual's nature. What is his nature? Which element of his spirituality is more? Which is less? So how should I guide him? Sheikh is not a mufti. He won't say it's haram, halal. No, he says, you do this zikr. You do this one. You try this. Because he's trying to train you. He will monitor you. He will see how you're feeling about it. We are in need of that. Ummah in need of that. Every individual. Our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had Almighty Allah has murabbi. He had that. So he was the murabbi and he was the trainer and murshid of sahabas. I give you one example and conclude because it's very practical to us. What do we do if you don't know? Okay, I want to come here. This is Thorncliff, right? I came from Ellesmere and Markham. I don't know how to get here. What do I do? GPS, right? I put Thorncliff, drive, and then what does the GPS does? Does it give you the entire instruction before I travel? What does it do? Step by step, and it travels with me, right? Travels with me, right? Until I come and reach here, comes with me. Network must be there, then only I will go to the destination. You know, a murabbi is murshid is like that. What we are doing is, I'm here, I'm telling, okay, 40 years you're going to die. I give a lecture for 40 years. How you want to go Jannah? I give one instruction. I say, you think the person is going to reach? Do you want to become, a scholar? You want to become so? I said, I stay here. I give an introduction and say, you go. No. You need to travel with him. You need to go with him. You say, okay, you're going. Take the left. Go further 500 meters. Take a right. If you want to train and make a person reach his destination, you need to have someone who goes with you. Our parents should do that. Our shuyukh should do that. If not, what we do is this. I will give the whole instruction and expect him to reach. No, he won't reach that. It's like a GPS. You know, a murabbi must keep training. We need that. We must keep in touch. And likewise, another example I want to give you. You want to train your son to drive. You make him sit in the passenger seat and you say, son, this is how you drive. You give instruction. And you're not giving him the driving seat. Will he learn? He will not learn. Instead, what you should do? You should give him the driving seat and you should sit where? In the passenger seat. And keep saying, oh, slow down. Apply the brake. It's a stop street. Look at left, right. Take a slow turn. Right? Equally. If you don't do that, he will look at, oh, it's fine, it's very easy, it's automatic. When you're sleeping, he takes the key, he goes. Will he reach? Maybe he reached somewhere else. Maybe he reached quick. May Allah protect us. You know, what happened? Our ummah is in this situation.
Yeah.
We do not have people who are really training us. It's not a Islam or achieving something, it is step by step. Spirituality is step by step. It takes long time. So you cannot just quickly go. Our youngsters think, okay, I want to become, oh, you see in social media and go and reach. No, it takes time. Certain things you learn, but for you to get that wisdom and realize, you need to reach, you need to experience. I'll conclude with, once when I qualified and came, then I was doing a khutbah, and they gave me, masjid gave me a topic of Islamic marriage, family life. You know, I spoke of those things. And then I came home, my father called me, he blagged at me, say, who gave you the authority to talk about family life? How many years you are married? Do you know what his family life is about? You're making yourself a fool. There's a man who's sitting there who lived 40 years. Right? Yes, you can just give some advice, hadith. Yes, but the impact, you can give proper guidance when you really have experienced it. That's why Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam experience in every field. So he gave guidance with experience. He gave guidance with wisdom. He did not just give, now like you have a monk who don't get married, but he's telling about teaching you about how to get married and what how to live a married life. Fellow sit and say, hey, you don't know, man. My wife gives so much of trouble. You don't have wife. Right? What do you know about it? Right? This is very important. Sometimes we ulama speaks about, you know, bay'ah, business. The businessman sitting here, this mullah, he don't know what his market is all about. He does not know demand and supply. He's coming and teaching me, you know. Because you need to be, our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was part of it. He was engaged in it and he guided us. So what I'm trying to say, our life, we want to reach the destination, we need a guide, we need a murabbi, we need someone like GPS, you know, keep saying. Where you get, sometime you need to take a U-turn. You are going towards wrong direction. You're supposed to travel south, but you're traveling north. Right? You're supposed to travel to west, but you keep traveling to east. So, you need to make a U-turn. We do not know. So, sometime we don't find, but then Allah, that's why we ask Allah, اِهْدِنَا الصَّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. If Allah, that's why I said, if we are connected to Allah, He will become our GPS, inshallah. May Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me and you. May Allah accept all of us. May He guide us in this holy month of Ramadan. May He make us all amongst those who are forgiven and accepted in this month. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.